This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the G-Bag Nation in Oxnard, California. We go to head coach Mike McCarthy at the podium.
Well, we hit the mark, but I think in a lot of ways there were things that you go through in the first day. I mean, it's a great example why training camp is so important. We have a lot of work to do, but we went back and emphasized our first install. It wasn't a very long practice. It was 2 hours, but I thought the players did a great job, doing it right and so forth. But it wasn't clean in some areas, but that's football. You get to clean that up, and we'll just continue to work on the time clocks and, the spacing and timing, all those things that you need to do at this time of year. So I thought we got off to a good start. Felt good walking off the field, based off of, the energy, the communication. We had the mock game. The second part of the day was really good. I think we just had the one hiccup near the end of it. So for the first day, I thought the communication was exceptional for what we're trying to get done. So I don't like to compare it, to last year, but that's part of it. So we're definitely a lot further ahead than we were this time last year.
Thoughts on that? Well, you certainly saw the
thought Dak made a very strong first impression, total command of the offense. So I think, where we are defensively too, I think we're able to take a step coming out of the spring for what we accomplished. And because the biggest challenge in my experience in training camp is the at the line of scrimmage work, the cadence, the ability to challenge the defense, and just to have your first practice. And it usually takes a few days to get into it, but just like today, we had a couple instances where the offense checked a play and the defense made another check, and so they kind of won the scheme battle. So now now we want to go check. And that's football. I think just the fact that obviously that's the way the quarterback mind works, but now for him, they'd be able to exercise it in real time and get the and get everybody else on the same page. This work is so valuable. It's valuable. It's so needed. But I thought he made a very strong impression first day out there. Had a couple really nice throws. He had a big time throw and a scramble drill. I thought was exceptional.
You didn't have Tyron and Lyle last year. How did they look on the first day?
Well, they look great. The offensive line as a whole. I really really like the look. The look of our offensive line. But yeah, both those guys are. The rehab. Part of it, they've been excellent. So it was great to get those guys out there.
Michael, one other COVID-related story, unfortunately, I have to ask about is the Vikings let Rick Dennison go because he refused to get COVID tested. Are you in that situation with any members of your staff where you're having that kind of decision-making?
No, our staff is 100% vaccinated.
Collins and Tyron seem to have different numbers of snaps. Looked like Tyron was out there a little more yesterday at practice. Can you just talk a little bit about what's going on with LC?
Yeah, no, I just think it's just a matter of where he is coming off of it. Yeah, but no, there's nothing really. LC will continue to work, and yeah, I wouldn't put a whole lot into the snaps yesterday. Yeah.
What intangibles does Dak possess in terms of leadership that are unique, maybe, to compared to others you've seen?
Well, I mean, I think when I think of Dak Prescott, outside of his talent as a professional athlete, I just his personality. He's so genuine. I think his the foundation of who he is. He's genuine, and he's the same person every day. I think that goes so far in life, and definitely goes so far in our operation. So, um, he, there's not a room he cannot walk into and connect with and be a part of. And, you know, and that's a unique skill that he has. You know, his ability to relate and communicate is exceptional. And he's a young man beyond his years. But genuine jumps out to me first.
Did you get any sense that yesterday meant something a little extra to him?
Oh, I'm sure it did. I mean, I didn't talk to him about it, but absolutely. I think for the players that have been here and the players that have particularly that have been injured last year and been here, this is a special place, you know, for them. But all the communication has been extremely positive about coming back to camp here and the fact that, you know, a number of those guys were, you know, on the injury reserve list last year. So I think there's a number of guys in that position.
How about still, for you, Mike, to see those guys all back on the field?
I'm sorry?
For you to see all those guys that were injured last year back on the field together?
I mean, stating the obvious, we're a different team. I mean, we're with our veteran players coming back, and, you know, just watching them go through the rehab and, you know, feeling good about the return, it definitely will be a huge impact to our roster, huge impact to our team. And, you know, that's just why we want to have a healthy, competitive training camp, and they'll be a big part of our success.
Chris Bernard exited very early in yesterday's practice. Do you have any update on the outlook, how much time he can miss?
Yes, he has a hamstring injury. I don't have the exact timeline for you, but he suffered a hamstring in the team fundamental drills.
What are some of the things you still need to see Dak do before you can say he's fully back to being the player he was before? I mean, he hasn't really faced a live pass rush. He hasn't run the football and been tackled. Are those still things that maybe psychologically he needs to conquer?
No, I think that's a very good observation. But I think time has to answer that. I mean, he looks no different today than my experience with him in live, you know, training camp action last year. So, I mean, that's a, you know, consistent, comparable, I think, for everybody that's been involved with his rehab. And so, I mean, and as we go into the padded practices, I think clearly that'll be a threshold that he'll get over, particularly with the bodies around him. Then we get into the teamwork. But, you know, I watched him closely in the teamwork live yesterday, you know, by design, and he didn't flinch. I mean, you know, it looked like he never left. So, I mean, that's a good point. But, you know, when he plays in the preseason games, that'll be the second threshold for sure. And I'm sure he'll be as excited as anybody when we kick it off in Tampa.
What was your impressions of being out here in Oxnard and having a whole crowd here? I mean, you didn't have a crowd last year. Just your overall thoughts.
I mean, it's outstanding. It's everything that everybody said it would be. I mean, the facility, the setup is very functional. I mean, it's obviously beautiful, the weather. The music, the stereo systems are better than the one we had at home. You know, don't tell Jerry I said that because I don't want to disrespect the star, but the energy was excellent. I mean, the energy on the field was excellent. The crowd was great. Yeah, and I, most importantly, our players appreciate that. I mean, it's the environment that, frankly, we need to get used to playing in. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, playing with crowd noise. You know, we play our first two games on the road, and just being out there yesterday is a reminder that we have a lot of work to do, you know, particularly in crowd noise, just because we haven't done it, you know, in quite some time. So, yeah, but the atmosphere here is excellent. This is a great place to have a training camp.
How much more important is preseason game and work for Dak coming off what he's coming off?
I think it's important, but I always think it's important. But, I think when you get into these preseason games, you know, the emphasis of playing your starters is important, but I think you can't lose sight of the young players. I mean, the young players need those reps. So the development of your young players is critical. The roster development as far as competition is probably, in my view, the most important thing in preseason, because particularly your veterans, you know, the norm is you have a relationship. I mean, there's familiarity, continuity that's already established. You can see that with our veteran players on offense. The newness of defense will probably factor into the decisions of who plays, how much they play, and this and that. So, you know, that's all part of what goes into the decision making.
Will Dak play in the preseason?
Dak? I anticipate Dak to play in the preseason.
First game, even?
I anticipate Dak to play in the preseason. I mean, come on, I can't give you everything. I mean,
We can ask them. The secondary was active getting hands on the ball in team drills yesterday. Yes. What stood out most to you? And for a guy like Trayvon Diggs looking to make a second-year jump, what do you want to see from him this camp?
Trayvon looked great yesterday. That was a huge emphasis even when going back to the postseason evaluation. When we were talking about adding players to our defense, particularly this, the perimeter defensive players, we need to put a higher emphasis on players making plays on the ball. Their skill set coming out of college, the skill set, the free agents that we brought in, and that's been consistent. So, and I hope and I am confident that will continue to be part of who we are on defense. I thought the second half of last year that we did a really good job taking the football away, and we need to build off of that. But, we've had a tremendous, amount of change in personnel on defense. But, I think those guys are off to a good start because, we have some guys that have, longer levers and the ability to go make plays on the ball. So that's a primary focus for us.
You guys tried Reggie Robinson at safety last year. In some sense, with him moving back to where he's most natural, a corner, do you feel like you're almost evaluating him for the first time? And if so, how do you feel he looks this year compared to his other positions?
No, I like the intent of your question because I think it's important really for that whole rookie class, for the guys that really didn't get the opportunities, because I think like anything, because obviously, we think very highly of Reggie. It obviously started on draft day. So I think sometimes as a coach, you're guilty of trying to get them on the field, and then you probably hold them back a little bit because you spread them out by changing positions and special teams work and so forth. But he prefers to play corner. That's something where it's been communicated, and I think he feels better there. But you want to make sure your young guys have plenty of opportunities to contribute, and I think he'll definitely have that opportunity this year.
You have a player as versatile as Micah. What are the discussions like with Dan and the staff on how much to put on his plate?
Well, I mean that's an excellent insight because frankly we did too much with him yesterday. His volume yesterday was off the charts as far as how much he did out there on the practice field. So, I think that speaks to him and his ability and his talent. So, but. Also, we're new as a defense. We're trying to work different combinations of personnel. We have great challenges in front of us as far as trying to, to play all those guys. But I think like anything, you don't want to spread him too thin, and because he is unique. You can see that right away out there, and particularly some of the plays he made in space and recovery, and you forget about his size and how powerful that he is. So I think like all of us, it'll be exciting to see him in pads and get going. So, we'll continue to watch that because, you want to make sure you're giving him his opportunities also.
Just with GPS numbers, or you played him at this position, and that position?
Well, combination of both. Yeah, combination of both.
Not just him, but you threw so many numbers at the defensive side of the ball with your rookie class, free agency. Do you have a little bit different script early? Because I mean, you want to look at everybody and let them sort it out. But how do you keep it where everyone has a fair chance? Or if someone rises, do they just go to the top and they get those snaps? Or
well, I mean that frankly, I think that's a bigger challenge in today's NFL because of the limited number of padded practices. I think the non-padded practices are important. I think that. Trajectory that puts you into as far as your training, sequence of how you build up. Like today, I've never just gone one practice and right into a regen day. But it's something that's been talked about a lot in the past. And after watching it us convert into this day, I'll do it like this every year because, I think you tend to forget that, there's a lot of anxiety and stress that goes into traveling and the first day of camp and then long. So, I think there's for all of the guys there's a little bit of a okay, we're here and they got through the first practice and that, but I think really in response to your question that kind of hopefully that'll take care of itself, but it is a bigger challenge because you put so much value in the padded practices and even a higher value into the preseason games, but then you get into the preseason games and it's I've seen it happen time and time again where, you know, your reps don't get totally the way you want them, because a lot of times when you, particularly with veteran players, especially quarterbacks, in my past, is it's not really a matter of if they're going to play. It's really who they're playing with, because you're not just trying to play one guy a certain number of steps or reps. You're trying to get a certain personnel group or a combination of guys in a rush plan, or you know, combination of guys in a coverage sequence. So, I mean, all those things go into it. So you just hopefully it sorts out that everybody has had a fair chance to make the team, and you get the information you need to make sure you clearly evaluate your roster.
Having said that, how do you sort through the process of the competition for the backup quarterback spot?
I'm sorry, can you first part?
Quarterback spot, how yes. do you sort through that process?
Well, I mean, there's definitely a rep count there, and it's set each and every time. I mean, I would think that these type of practices are definitely, you can put more value into the quarterback position, because decision making is really what a big part of that's going to come out down to. So, but we'll continue to rep all three of those guys, and that'll be sequenced.
Progression from DiNucci?
Oh, definitely. No, I think Ben DiNucci's had a excellent offseason program. I thought he definitely was one of the top guys in the offseason program as far as, weight gain, strength gains in that particular area. I mean, his classroom, which is natural. I mean, he's clearly advanced. So we just got to get him to play with just a little more patience, a little more confidence. But his skill set is definitely what we're looking for. So he needs to take that second year jump that we talk about with our second year players. So up until this point, he's done that.
How do you build confidence in a young quarterback?
Oh, performance. I mean, he needs opportunities, and he needs to have success on the field. That's really his next threshold he needs to get over.
What do you like about KZ?
Everything. I like his disposition. I like the way he approaches the game. The way he flies around, his communication is exceptional. He's a ball hawk. I mean, he's got excellent ball skills, so he's an excellent fit.
With his coming off the injury that he's coming mm-hmm. off of, do you have to monitor him here when you're out here? Or?
We'll see. I mean, we're watching him. We have a GPS meeting after, 3 hours after every practice. So, we're watching everything. So, and that's really for all the guys that have gone through the rehab process, particularly the veteran group.
When you have that meeting, what are you looking for in terms of making sure Dak is doing all he can, but not too much?
Well, I mean, there's history. Every player has history. I mean, every player has, things that you look at it, it's broken down by drill and, you just push. But, I'm not concerned about Dak's workload. So he handled a full workload yesterday.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Alrighty, there it is, the Mike McCarthy press conference here on a Thursday in Oxnard, California, a Friday in Oxnard, California, on your home of the Cowboys. And, okay, so that'll get us kick-started. We have the G-Bag of the Day coming up, and Dak Prescott is going to be on the podium coming up here at 2:30. So we're about 13 minutes from Dak. Can we come back and do the G-Bag of the Day before we get there? I know it's a little bit out of schedule, but it wouldn't feel right if we didn't make time to get it in and also get Dak back here on the podium. So we'll do that when we return right here. Gavin Dawson, Brian Broaddus, Jeff Kavanaugh, Lucius Alexander. Along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation, and we're back on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It is hour number one of the G-Bag Nation. We're rolling right into the G-Bag of the Day because Dak Prescott will be on the podium here in just a few minutes. There's a lot of news to react to from Mike McCarthy at that presser. Salute to him for giving us so much content and newsworthy items there. But, yeah, we're back here for a Friday show. The whole deal, the whole shooting match is coming up. And Dak's going to be on the podium here in 5 minutes. So let's go back into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has our champion.
Pimp Cup.
Greek Freak is our champion, the brand new champion, Greek Freak. He's a world champion and a G-Bag champion. Yeah, he's getting his 50-piece. I put two clips together right here. On his way to Chick-fil-A, looking for a MAGA Nuggets.
Okay.
And what?
MAGA Nuggets. And then at the end of the clip, you'll hear him actually ordering the Chick-fil-A.
I'm going to Chick-fil-A, fellas.
And ladies.
And ladies, obviously. I'm about to go order the 50-piece McNuggets. 50-piece
Chick-fil-A
nuggets.
No, the chicken
half minis. Sprite, half lemonade. No ice, please.
He said three different types of nuggets, bro.
Can I have the 50-piece? Sorry, I will put you... can I put your camera? Do you mind or no?
Sure.
There's 150,000 people watching you right now.
Really?
Yes. So can I have, please, a 50-piece Mac Minis? 50, exactly. That's 51. Then 49. Chicken Minis, yes.
Chicken Minis, 50. There you go.
And let me have a large drink. Bread. No ice. Half Sprite, so half lemonade.
Half Sprite, half lemonade, no ice.
So does he just think that the word nugget and McDonald's is the way you say it? Is that they're all McNuggets?
So. Yeah. Like Q-tips and stuff like that?
Q-tips, Kleenex, all that stuff.
McNuggets on little bread, please.
I think that might be one of the best things going to fast food, by the way, too, good. Those chicken minis. Yeah, I also like that spicy biscuit.
I got some more for you. I want to go fast because I don't want to cut off my man Dak with that Dak do. Yep. Zeke seeing Dak in the hospital. You talked about that.
I remember going to see Dak in the hospital. He was out of it. He was just like, feed me. When he saw me, and that made me, you know, I was sad, but that made me feel good.
That was great yesterday. They're bringing out the heavyweights right out here on the podium every day.
So hilarious.
Dude, he is so, like, laid back now.
Yo.
His full personality's on display.
He's the third guy on the Beavis and Butthead couch now. Put him on that couch.
That's perfect, man. When he gets that laugh going, your dead ball's on. Just draw him right in. He's even got the hair some days.
He's got the hair. He looks crazy, but I like it. California Ross. That's a Ross in California, not California Ross. A Ross in California. We have an employee that quit via the intercom. You know we like that here in the G-Bag Nation.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Attention, all Ross shoppers and sales associates. This is an announcement for your store manager, Carrie Ricketts. Carrie, you're a compulsive liar, spineless, racist, and an overall horrible manager. Your work ethic is trash and your management skills are non-existent. I and other employees have called to report you for your rude and racist actions to no avail, and I've had enough. You're genuinely a terrible person, and I'm happy to not be dealing with you or your stank attitude anymore. Thank you for shopping at Ross. Have a lovely day.
The last part. The dismount was beautiful, girl.
I don't know. That lady out in, what was that, Lubbock? She might be the all-time.
That was great.
She had them all lined
up. That was great. Because she had the echo on hers, too. So it was like everybody got to hear that. It was that Lou Gehrig joint going down.
You know, she stayed up all night hammering that thing out. Oh, man.
Yeah. What do you think, honey?
Okay. Well, I any sign of Dak?
No, don't see it.
Good. Can I do one more? Good. I wanted to do this. I thought it was amazing when I heard Jerry Jones say this. Now, you know Jerry Jones is good with the media. He could have gave this to us. But I'm taking it, Jerry. If you gave it to me, I'm taking it. This man said it was his fault. Listen to the Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer story.
I go back to what Barry Switzer said. Barry Switzer came in the office, and Jimmy had just left. And so Barry came down from Norman, Oklahoma to talk about getting the job. And he comes in and he said, "Where's Jimmy?" Now Barry had coached us both. He said, "Where's Jimmy?" And I said, "Jimmy's gone." He said, "Well, that's not right. Get him in here." I said, "Where's Jimmy?" I said, "Barry, Jimmy's gone. We're sitting here talking about you being the coach." I said, "What in the world are you so anxious to talk to Jimmy about?" He said, "I just wanted to get both you little ass." on this couch and ask you both, how could you this up? That was Switzer. On the way.
That was Switzer. Man, quite a group we got today.
But he really leaned on him messing up to the point where there was a follow-up question, and he said, yes, I messed that up.
Yeah. Can you answer Switzer's question now?
What?
Do you think you could answer Barry's question now?
I've never been able to know why I it up. That, not just that, but anything else. No, I can't answer those questions.
Oh, that was Switzer.
Yeah, that was Switzer.
That might be the all-timer right there. That's so good, top five seed story from Jerry Jones. Had his fastball working up there the other day on stage. Is it Giannis ordering his 50 a piece of Mac Minis?
Mac Minis.
Mac Minis.
Mega Nuggets.
No ice. She had to be like, so which one is are we that talking a about? Chicken mini? Did you want nuggets?
Is it Zeke seeing Dak in the hospital? That one's worthy as well. Ross in California, the employee quit with the intercom deal. We always love that. And Jerry interviewing Barry, who was he was looking for Jimmy Johnson. I'm going to vote for Jerry.
Oh, wow, that's great. Me too.
I'm going to vote for Zeke.
I'm going to vote for that one Switzer.
Something tells me we're going to be hearing that three or four more times throughout next week. As we're off and running here on a Friday in the G-Bag Nation. We wanted to get that out of the way if you're wondering, because Dak Prescott's going to be on the podium talking with the assembled media here in just a second. Then if time allows, I'd love to get Krusty's Corner and the Sports Mix in there coming up on the back quarter of this half hour. Our presenting sponsors of Training Camp 2021, Goody Goody Liquor, Mortgage Financial Services, and Twin Peaks. You can check us out on the Goody Goody Liquor fan cam as well as we're having a great time. There was a nice little media party last night. One of Mike Fisher's client buddies was throwing that thing together over at the Channel Islands right there, beautiful view and all that.
They didn't have any Dos Equis for me, but they did have seltzers. So I've sampled every different one, and I got to tell you, A+, 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 you know?
Yeah.
I respect Jared Sandler and the Truly's brand very much. I think it's a wonderful beverage. All the seltzers. Oh, they're sexy.
Yeah, they are indeed very popular.
Do you count ranch water as a seltzer?
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Anything that's like 80 to 100 calories but low in carbs, so you have no idea how drunk you are at any moment. Because you're like, well, it's not sitting heavy, but I can't really stand up. So I guess I've had a few.
Yeah. I love it, man.
I made plans to go to Disneyland with this guy I met randomly. I guess it's working.
Hey, right after practice this morning, about an hour or so ago, we interviewed Cowboys rookie Kelvin Joseph, and we're going to air that coming up at 4 o'clock. I had a great time talking to him and getting to know him a little bit better. He's very laid back and at times was a little bit quiet, but I think the insights and sort of, you know, the confidence he was showing, and also inside that confidence, there is quite a bit of, you know, football player, though. I mean, that really shone through, and he takes a lot of pride in his work and knows that it's not going to be an easy task, but I thought it was a great interview, and I hope the Tolos enjoy it. It's coming up at 4.
You know, I can confirm, and he's going to talk a little bit about his college experience, and I have a relationship with, you know, with LSU and those people and stuff, so, you know, I was able to get some insight from them as well, and, you know, and he's right. His situation wasn't getting kicked off the team or anything like that. It was, you know, him just
finding a better place to put his skills on display.
Yep.
As Dak Prescott is heading towards the podium. And
he's coming in hot.
The assembled media are joining. He's coming in hot. Is that a brisk pace?
He's coming in hot. He's rocking a nice Jumpman hoodie as well. Looking good there, Mr. Prescott.
Right on.
Jumpman, he says.
If you hadn't heard, he looked great in yesterday's practice. Mike McCarthy saying at the top of the hour he anticipates he's going to play in the preseason, and here is Prescott at the podium.
That fam?
Yeah, for now. No, they're fam, definitely.
No, the last time we talked to you, you said you had buried the injury, but as you're in this training camp, are you looking to see how your body feels physically at certain points the way it did before, or what are you kind of monitoring just to reinforce that you've gotten past this?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely buried it. But, yeah, I mean, just being honest, obviously you want to get a few days and you want to get a week or so ahead of you. in the books and then see if there's residual pain or anything like that or soreness. Obviously, after the first day, wasn't much. It was just good to get back out there, fully moving, being a full participant and everything. It's exciting just being back with the guys, and it's the last thing I'm thinking about, but obviously going to just see where I'm at as I continue to go on to make sure that I can set a right plan to take care of it.
Did you take any moment yesterday to remember where you were last October to jogging on that field for the first time?
Yeah, definitely. I think just the walk onto the field and then just before I actually crossed the line. And that's something I do well before the injury. So now just been a long time since I've been out there. Been a while since we've been obviously in Oxnard. It was a special moment just to think about where I was, think about all the hard work, all the support and everything that went into me getting back out there and just being able to go do what I love again.
What was the most challenging? You went rolling out, did you after the play, did you notice, oh, I didn't even think about rolling out?
No, I mean, there was no part of practice yesterday that I thought about my ankle or thought about any physical thing holding me back or anything, to be honest with you.
What was the most challenging part for you given the time you've been away?
Yeah, just not doing anything. I'm a guy that likes to go, like to stay on my feet and just always constantly trying to get better. So just the initial first couple of months, obviously, just having to lay up, having to allow the healing process to happen on its own. And there wasn't much that I could do to rehab or to do anything to get it better. That was challenging. But as I said, I had an amazing support system, family, teammates, friends, fans, everybody supported me that got me through that. And once I was able to start my rehab process and doing all the little things, it was fun just to day by day, you know, beat new goals and set small goals and capture those victories. And that's what allowed me to get to this point and to be out there participating and competing and not thinking about it at all.
He told us he never had any doubt that you'd be ready to go. Certainly you can be confident you'd be ready to go. But still, how good does it feel to just be have this all behind you and be out here practicing your team, knowing that this is really just the beginning, this is not the end?
No, for sure. It's definitely the beginning. It's exciting. I mean, it's a blessing just to know where I was, guess what, 9 months or something like that ago to where I am now, to know that's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of commitment that went into it, but it all pays off. And I've had a lot of adversity in my life, and this was up there with them. So just to be able to accomplish what I have and just that process. And as you said, just to know this is the beginning of a long journey. And excited to be on top of it and have that season of adversity behind me. I'm just looking forward to each and every day, and just, as I said, getting to do the things that I love and getting to do it with the people that I love, and it's a great game, and I'm just excited to be back at it.
Do you feel a different energy out there this year?
Yeah, I mean, sure, it's always great being in Oxnard, but, I mean, after you think about the last 2 years, not being able to get here last year and then just the season we had, me personally, what I went through, what this team went through, and then just now, just to be back out here, it's a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, and it's something that we're going to build on each and every day, and it's only going to get better. We're a competing team, and iron sharpens iron. Defense and offense, we're going to be talking, we're going to be fired up, and I know we're going to get better because of that energy, because of that excitement that we have, and it's a special place just to be back out there.
Zach, on that note of iron sharpening iron, when the defense is getting a hand on balls yesterday, what's going through your mind? How much does that stoke your competitive fire?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it stokes it pretty good. I mean, obviously, saying I haven't been out there in a while and haven't been able to talk trash or to be able to compete and to know those guys are making plays, it's exciting that as well, right? I mean, they're getting better, and I know we're making them better, but more importantly, they're making us better as well, and that's what it's all about, is this team getting better as a whole, and we're going to continue to do that day by day.
What is it to get your people back? Like,
what was kind of going on there with the interception you guys were having with Chad?
I mean, first off, he was out of bounds, well out of bounds. I don't even think he got 1 foot in, so I was making sure he knew that, making sure he knew that wasn't an interception, and you'll probably see me and Diggs going at it all the time. He's a competitive guy. I love the way he plays the game. I love his mentality, and I'm just going to try to grow it, to be honest, and I know it makes me better, it makes the receivers better, and he's going to be better because of it, and that's going to make this team great.
All your people back, like Lyle and Tyron, and even Zeke seems to be in much better shape than your tight end. How good is that to see all you guys coming back right now?
Yeah, it's special. When that group's in the huddle, I think I say it pretty much every time, the band's back together. And it's a blessing. Me and Tyron talked about it as we were approaching that first team session yesterday. It's been a long time, huh? And to have LC, Tyron, I mean, Zach, a healthy Zeke, have us all back in there with some of those young guys who are going to be great players, it's awesome, and we've got a great supporting cast from when one of those guys come out, or when myself and Zeke comes out, we've got great guys coming in as well. So, I mean, it's just awesome. It's something that, as I said, I'm looking forward to each and every day, and I know we're going to get better. And my excitement is through the roof, honestly.
Was there anything about the rehab process with all those guys where you're getting said or unsaid about what this year will mean after you guys, all y'all were out so long last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it didn't have to be said. We all had different injuries, obviously, individual challenges, but we all knew that we collectively, what we're going to do is get back to ourselves, and that was going to help this team do it. And so a lot of us rehabbed together. A lot of us did a lot of conditioning, different things that we had to lock arms that were tough at certain times during the process that we knew that it was going to pay off once the fall came. And once again, this is just the beginning of all these things paying off, and we've got to stay committed to our goals. We've got to stay committed to each other. But Britt Brown's done an amazing job with each and every one of us, and I'd be remiss if I didn't thank him, obviously, as well as I'm sure the other guys want to on his behalf of just pushing us each and every day. There's nobody like him that could have gotten us all back to where we need to be.
How would you describe his style?
Old school, special, gritty. He's passionate, does what he does his job with true passion, with true love. Loves the guys that he's coaching, and you feel it each and every day that you go out there, whether it's a light day or whether it's a hard day. He's going to let you know. He's going to be honest. He's going to take care of you, and it just makes you a better person and a better player every time you get out there in rehab or anytime you just get with him.
You shared with us yesterday how he went to the hospital after the injury and the interaction that you guys had the first time, the feed me thing. Do you remember any of that?
Obviously not. I mean, I saw that little clip, and I definitely don't remember that. I know when he left, my family told me he came, and obviously that meant a lot to me. But I was a little bummed that I didn't remember it, didn't remember our interactions, and obviously my family was just like, yeah, you were talking out of nowhere. So, oh well, but it was great.
Was there a special visitor when you were in there that meant something more to you?
I mean, just having my family, that was a game that honestly, my aunt, my uncle, my brothers were at. The family was there. All my friends were there. Everyone showed up to the hospital, saw them before I went back into into surgery. So just obviously they all waited on me. And then just to get out and to see each and every one of them, my girlfriend, it was special. Honestly, it really was. Just knowing that it was going to be a long process, but I had the people around me that I needed to, and they know how much this game means to me and how much I was going to do to get back on top of it. So they're just motivating and inspiring the whole way through.
So it was a larger contingent than normal that you would have had at a game?
Yes, for sure, for sure.
So first day in here in Oxnard, Coach McCarthy said that with big contracts come big responsibilities,
sure.
And that not only inside the field but outside, and that nobody emulates that better than Dak Prescott. So how does that make you feel to have that support of your coach, and can expand a little bit more on that relationship that you currently have, support system also going through your injury?
Yeah, I mean, support system is great. I mean, not only from my family, but from this organization as a whole. I mean, I went through what I went through and was able to rehab myself, and somehow along that process got signed to a long-term deal. So, I mean, I think that says a lot when you think about the commitment that this organization and the people in the support staff have to me. And I think that's just because each and every day I come in, I give my all. I give my all to them. I give my all to this game. I give my all to this organization. And it's special. It's special just to be here, to be in training camp, and just know great things are going to come from this year. And as I said, we're going to take it day by day and just get better each and every way.
Sorry. What do you remember about the experience of your rookie camp that might inform the way you work with the three guys behind you?
One more time there.
What do you remember about the experiences of your rookie camp?
Yeah.
That might inform the way you work with the three guys now behind you.
Yeah, I mean, whether it was rookie camp, whether it was the camp after that, I know we have to push each other to get better. And I need those three guys right now, and they need me, obviously. So it's always talking, it's always communicating. We're the signal callers, and I know that they have to lead those twos, those threes, or whatever it is, because we never know when one of those guys, whether it's them or whether it's somebody from their huddle, is going to be asked to come fill in the position. I mean, last year said it best. So it's to lead by example first and foremost, but then communicate after that and push those guys. As I said, I know they're only going to make me better, and they're going to make this team better as long as we're doing that in the meeting room, on the field, off the field, just any time that we're together.
He's been considered a strong leader. Does going through what you've gone through here in these past few months make you even better in that regard, just given the perspective that you may have now that you didn't before?
Yes, for sure. And I just think on the simple fact of sitting there watching the game, I've never had to watch as much football in my life without being a part of it. So, you don't take the small things for granted. You don't take the walkthroughs. You don't take the meetings. You don't take hanging out at lunch or dinner with the guys for granted, because at any moment, obviously, it can be taken away from you. And it can be taken away from you for a short period of time or for a long time, and we don't necessarily know that. That's what this game brings. So, you just got to take advantage of everything and each and every opportunity. I'm going to make sure that these young guys know that, these old guys know that, know how special it is when we're all together and when we're all working, and that we can accomplish all the things that we want as long as we're on the same page.
Talk about mental. Clearly that this training camp is not about the ankle for you. You're past that. What is this camp about for you?
It's about getting better. Obviously, I want to be better than I was before the ankle injury. So to me, it's about getting to that point and then getting past that and making sure that this team gets better, more importantly. I'm going to be ready, but I've got to make sure this offense, this defense, the special teams, and us as a group, collectively, we're playing together, and that we know we're one heartbeat. We're as good as our weakest link, and we've got to be committed to that. We've got to be committed to each other, hold each other accountable. And I think if we do that, then we decide our goals and we can go accomplish them.
About mental health has been something you've been dealing with in the past. How has it strengthened the last couple of months?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, going through what I went through, it took a lot of mental strength just to get through some of those times, just get through the time, as I said, of not doing anything, of the time where you just, it's you and your mind, really. And it's just allowed me to grow as a man, to grow as a man, more importantly. Then, obviously, as I grow as a man, I'm going to grow as a football player. I'm going to grow as a leader. And that's been the special part of this adversity. And I always say where adversity comes, brings opportunity. And that's exactly what has happened, is it's been an opportunity for me to become a better person so I can be better for other people and give them something.
Dick told us yesterday that he came from a family that didn't believe in vaccines, didn't get vaccines growing up, but he got the vaccine for himself and for his teammates. Have you gotten the vaccine?
I don't necessarily think that's exactly important, Clarence. I think that's HIPAA. But I understand where Zeke comes from. I understand everybody's opinion. And I think everybody's has that right. We wouldn't live in this country. We wouldn't be where in the position that we're in if that wasn't the case. Obviously, we all have to do a better job of educating ourselves, of educating our neighbors, just on this whole pandemic, just this whole situation, the vaccine. And I know that this team is going to get to the numbers. This team is going to do what we have to do. To make sure that we're continually progressing through this thing the right way.
The NFL made clear yesterday that the vaccine is a matter of a competition and that there are, I guess, if an unvaccinated player has certain situations, it won't be the same for vaccinated. Do y'all talk among teammates about what the competitive implications are of getting vaccinated?
I mean, there's small talks. Obviously, when you see certain guys come out and say certain things that they did on social, obviously that sparks conversations and things of that such, and as I said, I'm very confident in this team that we'll get to where we need to be, and I know we're on that way to doing the best that we can to help each other, to help this team and help the possibilities of this season.
McCarthy said he wasn't 100% on board with getting vaccinated initially, but after he looked at the science and looked at some of the statistics, it changed his mind. How much of an impact do you think his message had on the overall team?
And I think that's huge, him just saying that. Obviously, him saying how he was against it and obviously went forward to get it because he educated himself. And I think that's the best that we can do. But obviously, there's conspiracies and there's so much stuff out there right now, right? So, as I said, everybody's welcome to their own opinion. And this thing wouldn't be an option if it wasn't that case. So we just got to continue to do that, talk amongst each other, answer some of the questions that people may have, try to give hope where there may be fear, or just figure this thing out. As I said, it's all about educating ourselves and knowing as much as we can about what we're putting in our bodies.
Zeke seems to have dedicated himself to self-improvement this offseason in a way that he never has before. What's the significance of that in your mind to somebody who's close to him and dependent upon him?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it firsthand. He's taken a step that shows that last year was not who he was, and he doesn't want to put that on tape again. He doesn't want to be that player. Whether it was mistakes or whether it wasn't being healthy or whatever it is. And he's one of the most competitive people I've met in my life. He's somebody that I've talked about time and time again about cares more about this game than a lot of things and a lot more than a lot of people do. And it's special. And so that's all that was. That was just a commitment to him being a better player. Obviously, it's going to lead to him being a better person. And I know he's going to make a huge, huge jump. And he's going to be, I mean, I expect to see the best Zeke that we've ever seen in the NFL, to be honest, just from the way that he's trained, just from the way that he's approached it, just the way that he studies, just the way that he's come out here and handled himself just these first couple of opportunities we've been on the field.
McCarthy said you will play in the preseason. How much do you need to play and want to play?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to play. As far as giving you a number or a quantity of how much I need to. I just want to get back out there, get some reps before it's real, just to have a live defense coming at me. Hopefully not take too many licks because I've got great protection, but that's part of the game, and I think that would be great to obviously get up from that, wipe it off, and just be another process, as I said, of bearing the injury, obviously. And I think it would be huge. Obviously, not having the preseason last year, me and Zach Martin were talking about it just the other day. That's a big thing, is getting those preseason reps, just getting some practice or whatever you want to, exhibition reps underneath you before it really matters, goes a long way. And I think I need it. I think this team needs it. And I know it'll help us once it's through.
What are your expectations for this offense?
When you signed with Michael's shoe company, what did it mean for you? Did you have some conversations with him? And did you get an opportunity to talk about his leadership and his championship medal?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was special just being able to sign with Jumpman, the Jordan brand, and just knowing what kind of athlete he was, what kind of competitor he was, what kind of winner he was. Then just during COVID, we all pretty much watched The Last Dance, and just getting another peek and another insight of who he was as a player just jumped out to me. So, I mean, it was special for me to be able to put my name with him, to be able to bring Jordan, to bring the Cowboys together. I think it's special. I think it's special for me. I think it's special for this organization and for fans of the Cowboys and fans of the brand. I'm just excited to wear it.
Michael Parsons talked to us yesterday about playing Connect Four with Amari, having conversations with DeMarcus. He said, I try and connect with every team in a different way so I can learn what they're made of, they can learn what I am. What have you learned about his personality, and how have you seen him do that?
Yeah, I mean, we've sat at lunch and dinner. We've had some good conversations, and I know all of his interests. And I told him the other day when we were starting one of the team drills is, this isn't chess, this is the real thing. So I love Mike. I think he's a great guy, great kid. Great football player, and I know he's going to make this team better. He's going to make that defense better, and we're lucky to have him.
Zeke also talked yesterday about looking back at his protecting the football issues early in the season last year. You had some of the same issues. What have you done in terms of watching tape that said to you, I can't do this, I can't do that? What do you have to do differently?
Yeah, just knowing when it's important to give up on a play, to throw the ball away, whether or to slide when you're running, just being a smarter player overall and knowing that it's for the benefit of the whole team. Being a playmaker, being a guy that wants to make big plays, you want to do that, and so you've got to balance the risk versus reward. Know when it's time to, as I said, burn the play and just move on to the next, or maybe it's a third down or it's a fourth down. We've got to have it, and you've got to push those limits. But just about figuring out those balances and continuing to watch film, continuing to educate myself, talk to coaches, and do that.
There are always a lot of eyes on the Cowboys, but do you talk to your teammates about, okay, the Hard Knocks cameras are here, but let's make sure we keep our focus where it needs to be?
I mean, we had great team meetings at the beginning of this camp that I think handled it. As we said, it's going to be a fly on the wall, and it's not going to be a distraction. Things are a distraction that you allow to become a distraction. I know we've got the right leaders, we've got the right personalities on this team to focus. And when you're coming off a season last year, you know the importance is the work on the field. So I don't think anybody's necessarily worried about them. We're going to allow them to do their job. We're going to focus on our job, and hopefully it just goes smooth.
The expectations on the outside for your offense is it's going to be one of the best offenses in the NFL. And clearly the way the season started last year before you got hurt, it was. What are your expectations for the offense this year?
Yeah, exactly that. Be the best offense in the NFL. Stats, scoring, whatever you want to say, we want to be the best offense, and we want to make sure that we're playing complementary football first and foremost with our defense and with our special teams. It's just not about getting out there and throwing it 100 times, but it's about playing complementary football, the run game, the pass game, the action game, and allowing the defense to get rest, giving the defense a chance to get out there and to be their best when they're out there as well. So, but first and foremost, just to be the best offense in the NFL.
I feel you can be as explosive as any offense, but you need to be more efficient. Is that the step that needs to be taken to reach that top level?
Yeah, for sure. We've got to be balanced. We can definitely be explosive in the pass game. You see the receivers that we have, the tight end, and then you see the two backs. So even them out of the backfield, this pass game is going to be limitless. But we've got to make sure that the run game is the complementary. And I think it starts up front with this offensive line that we have and them setting the tone in the run game that's going to allow us to get the boxes, is going to allow us to get the matchups that we want to be able to attack teams outside. And then once we do that, it's going to be trouble for whoever we're playing, and we're excited to just take step by step, honestly, and to make sure that when it all counts that we're doing exactly that the right way.
You grew up a Cowboys fan, and Jimmy Johnson's going into the Hall of Fame here. What is his saying that? How about them Cowboys? What does that mean to you?
How about them? Just obviously he said that after winning a big one, right? And to me, that's always stuck with me. I mean, when I sign autographs, a lot of times they ask for me to put "How about them boys" on them. So I mean, I think that's just kind of been a label to Cowboy fans. Is every team kind of has their saying, and that's stuck. That's stuck, and I think it means a lot. But I know I want to get in the locker room and say it the same way that he said it, and then it'll mean a whole lot more than to me.
Thoughts about the first game of the year, going to Tampa, you face Tom Brady. Nobody's won more Super Bowls than him.
I'm excited. What a special way to start this season off, not only for us, but for this league, for fans. America's team, I'm playing, obviously, the reigning Super Bowl champions with the best quarterback to do it. I'm excited for the matchup against this defense, a very talented defense. And I know our defense is very excited for that matchup against Tom and his guys. So it's going to be special, as I said, not only for Cowboy Nation, but for this NFL, and be a great way to kick off the season and kick off our season the right way.
Blake Jarwin back at practice. What was that like for you to see him back out there?
Oh, it was great. Blake's one of the many guys that I've rehabbed with along the last few months. So it's special just knowing that he's back out there as well. My first throw at practice yesterday, sure it was a walkthrough, but I made sure I threw it to Blake. Just obviously I know everything that he's been through. Fighting his adversity, fighting his injury, and getting back on that field, special not only for me, but for him and for this offense. He's somebody that we're going to count on. He's somebody that we need, and he's a big-time player that he's gonna step up.
Your boy Zeke's birthday was yesterday. Did you organize anything that you could share with us? He did talk about the gift that you gave him, and how important is that bond that you two have?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a special bond. I mean, obviously, we're going into year six, and this game brought us together. But we'll be friends long after we're done playing. So thankful for a guy like that on the field, off the field, and happy belated birthday to him again. We didn't do anything because it was camp, but my birthday's coming up, so maybe when this thing's all said and done, we've got an off day, we'll do something. So, perfect. Thank you.
Prescott as well. There you have it, the opening hour of the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan. We had Mike McCarthy. We got you the G-Bag of the day and the Dak Prescott presser, and we are late, so we got to go. We'll recap all the notable headlines from those two pressers and give you the rest of the day of sports news when we return right here in the G-Bag Nation.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.